Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rott.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back to our show.
Hey, will you shut up?
It's Rop and Souk.
We've been derailed.
It's your sports bros.
We've been derailed today, and we're going to try to get it back on the...
Well, Joey will get it back.
That's true.
Fridays always stay steady when Joey comes in.
Yeah.
Because nobody F's with Joey Harrington.
No. Joey is the only one that's going to bring us back from the brink of Owen Schartz.
So Joey will be in here at 5:30. Story time with Joey Harrington, former NFL quarterback, former Duck, hero to many, classic pianist, Joey Harrington.
Leader of men.
Coming up tonight in the club, let me take a look. Oh, we have matched the middle name to the fan host.
Oh, yeah, you were putting this together.
I've got everyone's middle name.
Yours is the only one that I know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't know Mike's?
I do not know Mike's. I don't know Mike's. Yesterday I heard Patrick's and I've already forgotten it. I'm trying to remember. Like, no, yours is the only one I know.
We have one guy who has two middle names. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Which is kind of cool.
Seems like my mom had a bunch of names. My mom's full name when she came over was, because she came over from Sweden, it was Bull Monica Anchalot Holmstrom Young.
Damn.
Yeah. It's a mouthful.
So we'll do that in the club and some other stuff, you know, but no guarantees. Probably more Shart humor. Mike has the compilation from the Ducks game of the Shart play-by-play.
Owen Schartz.
In the very first inning, he said it a lot, and then he started to slowly fade away from saying it. So it's all from the first inning that I got, and there's one great line.
Has word gotten back to them?
I would like to believe that someone got on the horn and was like, hey, yeah, you need to tone it down.
Schartz is nasty.
Someone put in, most people think of him as just a pitcher, but if you need a batter to spray it all over the field, I'm going Schartz.
God.
Ah, good times.
Well, yeah, so we'll have the Shart compilation 5:15 and then Joey and then the club. And that's all I can offer right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those days. But right now, the top five sports stories of the day, the hot five at five.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
You don't have to do this. It's kind of douche.
Headed towards Turdville.
Yeah.
Hey, come to this program.
Give me the poll.
Just give me the poll.
Number five.
It's a birdie barrage. In Mexico.
Mm. You sounded very excited, and then you kind of tailed off there.
It's a birdie barrage in Mexico.
There you go.
If my internet will pull up, it's the World Golf Championships Mexico. I'm going to have to go to the laptop. Hold on.
Okay. Hold on.
I think
waiting
that it's
in place.
Bryson DeChambeau, or as I like to say, DeChambeau. Mm. Is leading. He shot a 63 today.
In his Kangol hat.
He is 11 under. Eric Van Ruin shot a 62. He is 10 under, along with Patrick Reed, who shot 63. Hideki Matsui is 9 under. Justin Thomas, 9 under. Rory McIlroy, who was leading after round one, got it.
Hideki Matsui is playing golf?
Got it to 2 under. Yeah, he's a good golfer.
You mean Matsuyama?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Hideki Matsui is busy with his giant collection of porn.
That's very confused.
Hideki Matsuyama, sorry.
Not only does Rob think all Asians look alike, but apparently their names are all the same.
And they all have coronavirus! Roy McIlroy is 8-under. He only had a couple birdies today. Tiger's not playing. He sucks. Okay. USC has backed out of a game in 2021 against UC Davis, but they're still going to pay him 725 Gs.
That's not a bad little deal then.
That's what the UC Davis guy said. He's like, all right.
We don't get our ass kicked and we get $750,000.
We'll take the money.
Yeah, sign me up.
Take the money, honey. So that's all I had for that one.
Okay. Short and to the point. I mean, what else do you say? I mean, game's off, money's on.
Look, there's not a lot going on. Okay?
No, there's not.
In the NBA, Blazers are back in action tonight.
Minus Damian Lillard. I also saw one of the headlines was that Lillard said the groin is nothing to play with, which I thought was a nice little quote. Oh.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing New Orleans. It is here at Moda Center. Pellies are favored. -4.
They've already beaten the Blazers twice this year. Is it three times already?
All three times?
Yeah, all three times.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, last time they played, remember, that was Zion's first game back, and they... Well, I mean, no, it was the first time they had played Zion since he had been back, and they got blown out.
I don't remember the first two. I just remember this last one.
Yeah. It was an old-fashioned ass-kicking.
I will look it up for you.
And the Lakers are waiving DeMarcus Cousins. Ooh. Did you forget that he played for them?
Well, he's not playing.
Well, I know. So did you forget that he played for them?
I honestly haven't thought about Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
They lost by 11 November 19th in New Orleans. Mm. They lost by 8 December 23rd at home and then lost the one recently.
The Lakers are eyeing a deal with Markieff Morris.
Oh. Okay. Well, didn't they try to get the other Morris brother?
I think they got the other Morris brother, didn't they?
I thought he went to the Clippers.
Was it the Clips? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, dude.
Yeah, Marcus Morris is on the Clippers. Markieff will be on the Lakers.
Yeah, I
think they get to live in the same apartment in L.A. together.
With their same
just like they always wanted to.
And the weird same tattoos. That is just bizarre to me. They have the exact same tattoos.
The Bears have released Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel to free up cap space. Two veterans will not be returning to Chicago. So that's there, out there today.
Well, I'm assuming you're saving the collective bargaining agreement for number one.
It's all I got left, dude.
It's a slow day. Hence, Sharks dominating. That should have been number one.
You're welcome, by the
Hell's
way.
Hell, golf should have been number one.
Probably.
If I didn't tell you about Owen Schartz, where would this show be right now?
Number one. You know where it would be, Mike? It would be in an entirely different gutter.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd be finding something else to. Yeah,
we can take it to the gutter.
Yeah, don't worry.
There's a lot of gutters to take.
It's just that when you give us Dickman and Schartz,
I like the Schartz gutter.
It's easy. You know, it's a primrose path down that alley.
And yes, the NFL collective bargaining agreement is close to being ratified.
Even though the executive committee voted 6-5 against it, they gave it the thumbs down and said no. They were going to have a player rep from each team, so 32 of them vote on it. They've scrapped that, and supposedly they're just going to give it to the membership, basically the popular vote. They're going to give it to all the 2,000-plus players, and they're going to go down that road. And it's coming out that they're saying that the owners are not really willing to negotiate. They're doing
shocking.
This is the deal. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens here.
Oh boy. Also, the 17 game schedule is expected to go into effect.
Well, they didn't say exactly when, but they said that the preseason would shrink even
down to 3.
Yeah, even if they don't agree to the 17 game schedule. So it sounds like that is a bit of a sticking point. Why it was voted down by the executive committee was they don't want 17 games, but the owners do, and they're trying to give some concessions to it. But it's I think for a lot of players, it's hard to swallow because the league has tried to come out and say that, you know, we care about player safety, but when you're expanding to 17 games, no, you don't. You can't say that you care about player safety and expand to 17 games. It doesn't work. I heard there was one ex-player that was talking about this. He said, that's basically saying, I want to pay to put a nail through your arm, right? I want to watch that. And I'm going to give you money to do it. And everyone has a price. Now, that was a good analogy. You said you wouldn't do that for $200.
Nope.
But what if I gave you $50,000?
A nail through my arm?
Nail through your
like
arm.
Like with a nail gun?
Yeah. Nail through your arm with a nail gun. $50,000?
Hell yeah.
No.
$200,000.
I mean, if you're going that high, hell yeah.
I'm going to hold out and say no.
Okay. You have, but my point is.
You want me to name my price?
Name your price. You do it for $1 million.
$12 billion.
You do it for $1 million.
Yes.
And so his point was.
I mean, I think
they're going to pay the players, obviously, for that 17.
Not cutting your arm.
That would hurt.
Yeah, it would hurt. And his point was they're going to pay the players for 17 games, and everyone has a price, right? You're going to come up with enough concessions. Maybe you give on the weed. Maybe you obviously you cut the preseason down, lighter practices, all these things. So the owners are going to pay to basically put the nail through your arm. But those owners don't get to say that I care about your safety and well-being when I'm paying you to put the nail through your arm. And that's the analogy he was making. And it's really good that the owners don't give a rip
right.
about any player safety. And I think there are some players that are bothered that they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. But evidently, if you come up with a good enough number, you can put the nail through my arm.
According to NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, he has leaked some details of the new CBA saying that the 17th game would not be an international game for every team. There was some talk of that being the case.
Because the NFL obviously wants to expand to the overseas market.
But there's also the uneven 9-8 home away kind of thing that will come from this.
He's saying 1 year it would be 9 home games for some teams and 8 home games for the other, and then reversing that pattern for the following year. So that's how they would do it.
And then everything
else. The only way they can do it.
Yeah, and everything else. Like I said, none of the details are out. I mean, stuff's leaking out. So again, what we know, we've heard that there may be more lax on weed testing, like maybe only do it in the off season
Good.
And not doing it in season. But that one's just a rumor. Roster expansion by 4 players, 1 less preseason game, lighter practices, which, I mean, they don't really have a lot of contact in practices anyways. And then a small increase in total revenue, a percent of the revenue. I think 1% is what I saw that it would be bumped up.
Hot 5 and 5, refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win tickets to a Blazers home game and a $250 gift card to the team store wherever you buy your Coors Light. Coors Light, made to chill. All right, Mike has a Sharts compilation and Joey Harrington in studio coming up on The Fan.
The Fan.
All right, story time with Joey Harrington, about 10 minutes away. See where that goes today. Got the club coming up. Today's show, if you're just tuning in, has been pretty much derailed.
By Owen Schartz.
Unprofessional.
Yeah.
Juvenile. You know the routine. But Owen Schartz. So if you're just tuning in, Owen Schartz was the starter for Nevada against Oregon on in baseball.
Yeah, and we've...
And we have the audio because, of course, AM 910 carries the game. So here is what Mike put together. It's about 30 seconds. Wondered what this might sound like when Schartz takes the hill.
I am so disappointed that Dickman, though, is not his battery mate because one of their catchers is named Blake Dickman. I mean, don't you have a responsibility as the manager? In charge of that thing to play Dickman when Schartz is on the mound.
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
Exactly.
I think you do.
Yeah.
So Owen Schartz is his name. He's a sophomore at Nevada, son of Stu and Jen Schartz. Stu, the contract specialist for flooring company Rop Corporation.
By the way, that's all true. It's the sad part. Do we know more about Owen Schartz than any radio show in the country, including one in Nevada?
Probably.
Yeah.
We see Owen Schartz on the mound. First pitch on the way from Schartz is swung on, lifted down the right field line, tailing foul, and that's where it lands. Schartz, a Simi Valley, California native, sophomore, 0-1 on the season. Only made it through 4 1/3 innings of work. Did Schartz, so obviously he shows a penchant for picking up the strikeout, but so Schartz hangs up his first K of the afternoon, and he flips it over to a covering Schartz, and 1-1 pitch from Schartz, a big looping breaking ball. Schartz with a big sigh on the mound. Schartz with the sign into the windup.
Schartz with the big sigh. Yeah, good times.
So
they're playing it pretty straight over there.
Yeah, that was my favorite was Schartz with the big sigh on the mound.
Boy, I couldn't do it. There's no way that I could be professional if I was doing color for that broadcast.
Man.
You would have to, at some
point. I would
point,
have a field day with
at
that.
At some point, don't you have to slip in one or two? Right?
I think you do.
You just have to throw a jab out there. I'm not saying you have to overdo it, but you got to throw one or two in there.
I think you owe it to your listeners who want it.
Yes.
Now, not all of your listeners are going to want it.
But you know that a good.
Some will.
Some are out there like, come on.
Do it.
Do it.
I think my second favorite was when he hesitated and then said, did Sharts.
Yeah, good times. I love that.
Yeah.
Well.
Shall we do it one more time?
Sure, why not?
It's only 30 seconds.
You want more Sharts?
Yeah.
We see Owen Schartz on the mound. First pitch on the way from Schartz is swung on, lifted down the right field line, tailing foul, and that's where it lands. Schartz, a Simi Valley, California native, sophomore, 0-1 on the season. Only made it through 4 1/3 innings of work. Did Schartz, so obviously he shows a penchant for picking up the strikeout. But so Schartz hangs up his first K of the afternoon, and he flips it over to a covering Schartz. And 1-1 pitch from Schartz, a big looping breaking ball. Schartz with a big sigh on the mound. Schartz with the sign into the windup.
Covering Schartz. Yep. Yeah, that was a covering Schartz. We've all been there.
Unfortunately, that is true as well.
I'll have to deal with it. Did along came Polly, is that with the first time that Philip Seymour Hoffman?
I believe so.
Is that the first?
Or at least that's when it became.
First Schartz reference?
Yeah.
Part of the.
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's where I know
part
it
of
from.
Our national vernacular.
Yeah.
Like, so he's a sophomore, right?
We got to leave.
So he's what, 19 years old? When did Along Came Polly come out?
I guess it's probably around that time.
So his entire life, that word has meant what we now know it to mean.
Yeah. Because before that, it probably wasn't a thing.
And maybe that's why they didn't change it.
Yeah. Yeah. You should have known.
But Owen, was coming. Surely Owen takes some flack.
2004, Along Came Polly came out.
From his teammates, right?
Oh.
Yeah, so when he was like 3 or 4 is when it came out.
I would never let that go, ever. And I'm sure he'd be like, I've heard it my whole life. And I'm like, I don't care. There's a reason why you've heard it your whole life, because it's fantastic. And we're going to keep it up. That and the fact that his teammate is Blake Dickman, and they're listed side by side, and they're a pitcher and a catcher. I'm sorry, it doesn't get any better than that.
Ooh, hot breaking news. JN has texted in and he says, Rop Corporation.
Yeah.
Pronounced, Mike was right, Rape.
That's when you want to be fancy.
He used to be in commercial flooring.
Isaac Rape.
Rape.
You know, you've taken Isaac Rop about as far as it can go. I say you add a little flair to it. Rape.
Rape.
I can't do that with Sucanic. You can't really spice up Sucanic. But Rop versus Rop A.
I don't know. You tried to spice it up that one time.
What?
Shijani.
Was that what?
That was Shijani. You saying your last name, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was that me saying that's how other people try to pronounce it?
Shijani.
Oh, I get some horrible. It's never been pronounced correctly. First time. Never happened.
That's swing spelled S-W-I-N-J.
All right. One quick thing before Joey gets
in
here.
Where the big swinge, W-S-I-N-J.
I was reading about LeBron James.
Yeah.
You know, he's like an ultimate influencer on social meds.
I think he was the...
social meds,
I think he is considered the number one.
Is he number one?
Yeah, I saw...
Of all of just athletes or of...
I saw a list, and I'll see if I can look this up, because I saw a list just not too long ago. I think it was maybe a week ago, where he was ranked as number one, and I don't know if that was just athletes or if that was all influencers.
Probably just athletes.
Probably.
Because there are some other influencers.
Well, like the Kardashians I know on there.
Way more broad appeal than him. Well, anyway, I was reading, he has 60 million Instagram followers.
Good Lord.
60 million. 60 million.
It seems like a lot.
How much do you think it costs to get him to do one sponsored post?
100 G's, 50 G's, something along those lines.
$300,000.
$300K for him to post something?
One post. He's done it with Hummer.
Hummer's still a thing?
Apparently. Not in my house. I wouldn't know. Ladder sport, whatever that is. That's a sports drink.
I've never heard of it.
I don't know what that is. And then Nike. He's done it for those three.
My God. $300,000.
And this article that I read said he makes $450,000 per game in the NBA. So he can do one sponsored post for 300 grand or play an NBA game for 450 grand. That's his day.
Boy. Well, I think that's why everyone wants to be a, like, you. It's like the video game thing, right? Every kid's like, well, I'm going to be a professional video game player. Oh, okay, good luck being the 0.5%. I'm going to be a social media influencer and make a living. Why? Are you going to be LeBron James? Like, you can't get to 60 million people, I'm assuming, without having some sort of talent. I guess maybe the Kardashians, but.
So what they're saying in here is that that has more value. Like, him just doing one sponsored post.
Yeah.
Has far more value than a TV or radio ad.
Just by him posting it.
Just by him just throwing up, hey, drink this.
Well, I watched a thing. What was the...
To 60 million people.
What was that thing with Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine? Remember they did that documentary?
I do.
I forget what that's called, but they did one on there. And they were talking about the Beats by Dre. And LeBron has a piece of that. And you know why LeBron has a piece of that?
Because it's social media.
That was the marketing campaign. When those things first came out, LeBron James got a pair. I think Dr. Dre or whoever gave LeBron James a pair of those. And I'm sure I'm missing steps in the story, but I'm paraphrasing the story here. And LeBron James was like, oh, I like these. He goes, give me more. I go, and it was during one of the Olympics. And he said, I'm going to hand these out to all of my Olympic teammates. And he started handing those out, and everyone started wearing them. He started wearing them during pregame, and he started wearing them in postgame interviews. And that's how Beats became a thing. It wasn't really marketed other than LeBron James and his cronies would start wearing them. If you remember, people started wearing them like getting off the bus, and that was the media impact. And for that, LeBron James, they wouldn't say how much, but he got a piece. He negotiated a piece of that company, which they sold for over $1 billion. And that's how he got his piece. He just said that he not going to read commercials for you or anything. He goes, just give me the headphones and I'll wear them around and I'll get my friends to wear them around. And then, of course, kids will be dumb and spend $400 on them because...
Hey, if it's good enough for LeBron.
Exactly.
Good enough for me. 60 million. That's just crazy. All right. Joey Harrington is in studio next. It is Friday. It is Story Time with Joey when we return. But first... Mike with SportsCenter.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Fridays at 5:30, and now there's an open. It's so beautiful. Your voice, Joseph.
It's angelic.
It really is.
I mean, it really. I've had people tell me that it's a combination of like Fergie and Jesus.
Yeah, that's kind of what
it's the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Rob's the voice of a generation, so, I mean, together
you and
guys,
I should do a duet.
You're Pepsi?
He is.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what the voice of a new generation?
The new generation. Yeah. That's why he's the songbird
that
over
was
there.
A fail.
I'm actually kind of disappointed in you that neither of you got the Step Brothers reference.
Oh, I got the Step Brothers reference.
Yeah. I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. You know that Soup
I'm the voice of an angel, you know? Yeah. Like, people have told me it's a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Okay, thank so you. That's from a movie.
That's from Step Brothers.
See, Sook says a lot of things, like probably 5 times daily on our show. And we've been on the air 15 years together.
Yeah.
And he says all these clever things. And I'm like, oh, that's really funny. And then later, because I don't watch a lot of movies, controversial. Later, I find out he's just reading a line from a movie.
Well, yeah. It you know what it does is
I thought
one,
he was so clever, but he's not.
No.
He just
watches a lot of movies.
I just have good recall.
Bingo.
And nothing else to do. But it's the best is when you have like an obscure reference, just something like a Hudson Hawk reference or, you know.
And
like
there's usually one listener that gets it. It's like, and I really appreciate that.
Out there and there's someone out there.
Does someone
like,
respond?
Someone out there will respond and be like, great reference. And I'm like, you got that? Because it'll just be the most obscure thing in the world. And you're like...
One
person out there gets it.
We used to try and have, back in college, we used to try and have like full conversations using different movie quotes.
Yeah.
Like you have to use you have to respond to what the person said with a different quote from a different movie.
When I did the Talking Ducks, or we did like the Pac-12 show.
The now defunct.
Well, I think they might still have it. We're just not allowed to be a part of it. Back before they
still have that show?
I'm on that show.
What?
The TV show?
You're on there?
Yes.
That thing still exists?
Joey's I started Talking Ducks. That thing.
What?
Yes.
Why is Sook not on there?
Because he's a jerk.
Yeah, they don't let us.
He's an A1 jerk.
Grade A jerk.
They don't allow us to be on any of those programs
anymore.
I thought
that wasn't on there. I mean, no, I know. I mean, I got
I don't think they do turfed, the Pac-12 show anymore. Because I used to do some Talking Duck stuff, and then we would do like a Pac-12 like roundup, and then it was just we did like an Oregon wrap-up after every game. Yeah. And once you got us all kicked off.
No. I got myself kicked off.
That started the whole ball going downhill of the station being
please,
removed.
Don't pin that on me.
We're not allowed to be.
What was he doing? He is a great
night putting. Were you me? To get yourself? Were you simply putting at night?
Yeah.
With the 15-year-old daughter of the dean.
Okay, so another movie reference.
Thank you. You don't eat Caddyshack. Nothing.
Yeah. I got that. No, you didn't. Yeah,
I did.
He's in a lumberyard.
That's a long story.
He owns two of them. What's wrong with those?
You don't spend much time there, do you?
No,
I don't.
It's a long story. I do a lot of drugs.
Yeah. Okay, good. Every day I do.
The bottom line is
so what seems to be the problem?
When I was on those shows, my daughter would always give me things, and she would give me some obscure thing, and like, you have to work it in. And so, like, there was Adam Willis, who was like one of the producers, would always like be in my ear. He'd be like, "What the hell was that?" My daughter would just give me some obscure phrase, and at some point during my breakdown of the game or the highlight package, I would work it in. And it was,
you were doing bits.
I was doing bits. Yep. Yeah. And
we'll still do that during, like, I'll send that. I know you want to go somewhere else, but if you ever watch any of the Fox Sports college football stuff, Joe Davis was my old partner. Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll send him, like, you have to work the word advocate or whatever, proliferate.
Synthesizer.
Yes, exactly. Photosynthesis.
I'm in trouble at that point.
Yeah. Suit can't say photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis?
Yeah, yesterday it got me. It got me good. I tried six times.
Are you going to try for Joe?
Do you want me to try? Should I like concentrate and like find like my inner peace?
I think you got this.
Synthesizer.
I did it.
Yeah.
It's you.
It's the because it's the keyboard, the synthesizer. Yeah.
Well,
right?
I mean, you look at Joey Harrington and there's a calmness that comes over. This is why he was a quarterback.
Herbie Hancock.
You look at him and you want to perform. Yeah. That's why he's a leader.
You performed.
He's a leader of men.
Okay, where were we? Oh, Talking Ducks still exists.
Oh, yeah, he's Talking Ducks.
I didn't know that station was still on.
Yeah. NBC Sports.
And you're doing that show, huh?
Yeah.
What do they pay you for that?
I trade out. They broadcast my band and foundation.
Oh, that's right. I hosted that once.
You did.
I was really good at it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's why I was never invited back.
Yeah, that's why you weren't invited back.
Okay.
15-year-old daughter of the dean, simply night putting.
Nah, I liked it a lot better when I got to playing it. Yeah.
Where were we?
Oh, I was going to ask you because you did some color.
Yep.
Like you said, you mentioned the Fox thing, and that triggered. I was like, whatever came of that? Like, you didn't want to keep doing that? You didn't like that?
Well, first of all, I got fired. I mean, let's start with, square one. I got
they turfed you too?
Yeah.
That's what happened to Rob.
Yeah. But in all reality, like, I wasn't going to continue doing it. And I think part of the reason why I got let go is because they could see that I wasn't, long-term committed to it. And because I didn't want to be gone every week. I mean, when you're calling games, it's got to be a great life. Well, sure, you take off on Thursday and you fly to Manhattan, you don't fly to Manhattan, Kansas. You fly into Kansas City.
And then you drive.
And then you drive, 2.5 hours through the wheat fields to end up spending a weekend in Manhattan, Kansas to call a game to then catch a red eye back out through Dallas to get home for Sunday.
Yeah,
and do that every single weekend from mid-August until mid-January. And so if I was going to miss every single weekend with my kids, why not just stay in the NFL and hold a clipboard for about 10 times the salary than it was to call football games? So, it was fun until my kids were, at the age where it's like, I want to be around. And so, maybe in 20 years, if people still, like to hear me babble on, then I'd think about it. But
does coaching ever interest you?
No.
Why?
Do you know how much time that takes?
Yeah.
I've always said that I would never let my family's well-being be tied to the stupidity of an 18 and 19-year-old young man. Because that's the truth. If the kids you recruit decide to not work, decide to not go to school, decide to screw around and get themselves in trouble, well, then you don't win ball games. And if you don't win ball games, then you're fired. And if you're fired, you have to pull your kids out of school and move them across the country. And no thanks. And plus, even if you are winning and you're there, I mean, those coaches, I've told you the stories of Jeff Tedford who would literally sleep in his office from Sunday until Thursday because he worked so much. And he would keep when he was the O coordinator at Oregon, he'd keep an air mattress in there. But then once he became the head coach at Cal, they built, he had him build in like a Murphy bed into the wall. And it was just like this, you know, the wooden paneling and, you know, pulls it down. I was like, oh, nice touch. Well done.
What about going the Keenan Lowe route though? You know, high school or small college coordinator or Joey's camp or.
Yeah, you know? I still don't think people understand how much time it takes.
Yeah.
And that's not something my focus is my kids. I coach fifth grade basketball.
Yeah.
And I coach second grade basketball.
Are you a good
right
coach?
Well, let's just say our first year we went 0-for.
So you're not a good coach.
We had a big 0-for-10.
We're now seeing why he's not climbing the coaching ladders.
But year two, we did have the largest turnaround in CYO history. We went from 0-10 to 7-3. So seven game turnaround. I'm making up that largest turnaround thing.
Well, but it's probably in the book. What clicked? I'm just kidding.
But I'm sure you have friends that you played with that gone into the coaching ranks, and it's interesting because there's a lot of obviously ex players that go into it, and it's funny because I've seen some guys like Kalani Sitake was a teammate of mine for 4 years, and Kalani has done real well. He's a head coach at BYU now, and you make a couple million bucks. But boy, I got buddies that are grinding out as position coaches at Southern Tallahassee U after 10 years, and I don't think people understand how little, like, it's one thing if you become a coordinator and, but boy, I've got friends that here we are at 38, 39, 40 years old that are making 45 grand a year.
I was going to say, I guarantee really small places. That you guys are making more money than a lot of the under college coaches. Like, you know, I don't even know, you know, but a lot of those, even assistant coaches at major colleges do not make, I mean, not that $100,000 is anything to shake a stick at, but for time spent, value received.
Yep.
I honestly think a lot of guys, there were conversations I had with guys after we were done. It's like, you know, what are you going to do? I'm going to coach. Well, why?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that? And the answer was because I don't know how to do anything else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a way, I think that is a huge fear. And it's one of the things I admire about Joey is, you don't seem that way, but I knew a lot of guys that their whole life was football.
Right.
And when that goes away and you're no longer able to play, there are guys that absolutely flail.
Mm-hmm.
And for I think a lot of those guys, coaching isn't a desire. It's a need. It's a necessity. It's a way to continue to do the only thing you've ever known. And yeah, I mean, it's a grind. I had a buddy of mine that got hired at Stanford. And he was making what, $175 a year? Couldn't live. There was no, and this was years ago. There's no
Palo Alto.
How do you live? Like I was talking to him on the phone once, and he was just lamenting. He goes, I've got a wife and three kids. He goes, you should see my place. It's an absolute dump. So now places I think are actually trying to like buy housing and provide it for coaches.
For coaches.
Because some of those places, you know, if you're in a major city, good luck. Oh, great, you're making $150,000 a year. You can't live anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, you're in Palo Alto.
All right, story time with Joey Harrington every Friday, 5:30. Let's talk about leadership from the quarterback position, but we'll do it next. More with Joey next on The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, back in studio, story time with Joey Harrington, former NFL quarterback. Now, when we left off story time last week, when Luke was in for Souk, we talked a lot about money.
Cash,
and leading
straight cash,
up,
homie.
We sure did.
Yep.
And leading up to, you know, preparing yourself to be rich and preparing yourself for the NFL, and maybe relating that to what Justin Herbert's going through. Your advice for Justin Herbert was, when he gets to the NFL, be more vocal. Be more vocal than I was. Be more vocal than you want to be.
Yes. I can't remember how I, if I put it directly that way, I would say take charge.
Take charge,
take charge, however that.
So relating to John Beilein is something we've talked about today. Beilein's his coach of the Cavs, heavy-handed guy, always been really successful in college, goes to the NBA, can't relate to any player, and he's fired in 54 games. He gets a five-year contract. He's out of there in 54 games. The players hate him. How did you, from the quarterback perspective, and you're the guy, you're the franchise savior in Detroit, how do you walk into a locker room and lead guys from all different socioeconomic backgrounds?
Well, I didn't. You know, that's kind of how it turned out. I would definitely do things differently, because the interesting thing is all those guys see your contract, right? They don't see you as, I won't say they don't see you as a person, but a good majority of them, especially the vets, you know, those guys who 3, 4, 5, 6 years in, who are the journeymen who make up the majority of that roster.
They make you stand up in camp and you got to say who you're at or who you are, where you're at. And more importantly, what's the signing bonus?
Exactly. And so one of the things, so I'll never forget Matt Ryan. I was in Atlanta when he was drafted. And he came in, and one day, you know, we were a couple weeks into camp and, you know, into mini camp. And one day he's got people who are like up in the, you know, the ceiling of the locker room, like measuring and ladders. I was like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm just, you know, hiring some guys to put a sound system into the locker room. He's like, put a sound system in the locker room? What do you? And he's like, yeah, the guys wanted me to do that. I figured I'd do that for the guys. It's like, oh, that's a smart one. That's a smart move. So, you know, he took a good chunk of money and put in a big old sound system in the Falcons locker room. And it's like, huh, that's a good way to endear yourself to your teammates who are looking at you as
the big money quarterback.
Exactly. But there's also the flip side of that, because if you come in and start spending money, you know, just spending it all around, then it looks like you're showing off.
You're Ryan Leaf.
Right. Exactly. And so to find that border, so they're going to get it from you either way. So when I was in Detroit, my rookie year, they throw a rookie party. And essentially what that translates to is the vets, you know, whether it's 1 or 2 or 10 of them, plan the biggest party they can find or they can put together, and invited the entire city of Detroit, and then handed the rookies the bill.
Yeah.
But the way it was divided based on which round you were drafted in. And so, you know, the 7th round pick paid $2,000, the 6th round pick paid $4,000, all the way up to me, the 1st round pick, and they handed me a bill for like $35,000. I was like, wait, what? Like, yeah, we had a party. You need to pay for it. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm guessing it's the biggest check you've ever written in your life at that point.
Oh, at that point, absolutely. And so it wasn't we were having a party. You have to pay for it. Here's when it is, show up. So I show up, and literally the entire, it seemed like the whole city was there. I mean, it's like some club downtown. Yeah. And I mean, there are just people walking around with bottles and, you know, just taking them all over the, yeah. It's like, I don't, who are these people? I walk up to the bar. I was like, hey, you know, can I get a drink, or, you know, can I get something? Like, yeah, sorry, we're out. I was like, no, 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 no. See all this? Like that was my paycheck. That was my, no, I'm going to have something. Like, well, we got like this Jägermeister. I was like, fine, I'll take it. Like, whatever it is, like, I'm getting something, because I'm looking at all these people here that are drinking on my tab, and I have no idea what is going on.
Interesting. So it's the money.
It is purely the money.
You walk in there.
But okay, so you establish yourself as some, I would say, someone who's willing to share, but then you have to play, right? I mean, it only takes you so far, because the moment you don't play well, you're done.
Can you lead if you're unsuccessful?
No, I would put an asterisk by that with Marcus Mariota this year, right? He wasn't leading, but he provided a great example of how you can be a supportive teammate and not be a distraction. So in that sense, he was potentially leading by example after he got benched. But if you're not successful on the field, the guys don't care what you're making. They don't care who you are. Like, your poor play affects their family, yeah. Right? And that's the conversation that I had with Dre Bly, you know, after he had, you know, Mariucci got released, and, you know, he calls me out in front of, you know, all of the entire country, and, you know, we sit down and talk about it.
What did he say?
Well, he went on ESPN.
Trey Bly's a DB, by the way.
Yeah, defensive back. Made a couple Pro Bowls.
Yeah, good player.
Good player. And he went on and said that I was the reason that Mariucci got fired.
Oh.
And I mean, just like blasted it out. Yeah. He was pissed, you know, when it happened, because Mariucci was a really agreeable coach. You know, he wasn't a heavy-handed guy and he was good to his players. And Dre's point to me was, look, you're not playing well enough, which I wasn't, and you're affecting my family and you're affecting, you know, all these other guys in the locker room. It's like that's true. That's fine. But what you don't see is all the other things that go into it that affect me, right? Why is my play at this level? Well, because part of it is mine, but part of it is also A, B, C, and D. And I can't be successful if that's not in place. And so guys don't care, right? Guys, they truly don't. I mean, it is not a, well, I'm going to give him a little benefit of the doubt because, you know, he's a nice guy and he put a sound system into the locker room. And I know his wide receivers aren't working really hard and they don't study with him, but so I'm going to give him a break. No, you're the quarterback. You're getting paid the money. Do it or get the hell out of town and we're going to find somebody who can.
So all this talk about, you know, Justin Herbert's quiet and they went through this with Mario, none of that stuff really matters. It's like, just win. If you win, guys are going to follow you.
Just win.
If you don't, you're probably going to be out on your ass in a couple of years.
But is there an element, if you're not a natural leader, if you're not vocal, it's harder to get people on board. And if you don't have people on board, that affects the performance. It's like a chicken and the egg sort of thing, right?
Yes-ish. If you need that. There are certain guys that can just show up and go chuck it, right? And sometimes that works, right? And then all that camaraderie comes afterward because you've shown that you can just go out and chuck it and you don't care what happens. Right. I mean,
but there's process, guys. Like I always say, like with truly elite guys, right? It doesn't matter where they're at. They're going to end up being successful. Maybe not to the level, you know, with certain teams, but they're going to, Patrick Mahomes was going to be successful wherever he goes. Maybe not Andy Reid successful in Kansas City, but I think the vast majority of guys aren't. I think the vast majority of guys fall into the category that you probably fell into where you have the talent or you wouldn't be there. And it's a matter of circumstances and what is put around you as far as coaching staff, players, and all those little things that go into whether or not you end up being successful.
I might actually argue that Patrick Mahomes, that there is, I don't know.
Say it. You want to say it.
Well, but I guess my point is you say Drew Brees is one of those guys, right?
Sure.
Drew Brees is one of those guys. Drew Brees was about to get run out of town in San Diego, right? Drew Brees literally was, the only reason that he played is because they picked Philip Rivers to replace him.
Yeah.
Right? They were throwing him out. And then Philip Rivers held out, and so Drew Brees got back on the field that year, right? So even a guy like Drew, who you look at and say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, the leading passer in the history of everything, can go wherever he wants and take a team to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl. At the beginning of his career, he wasn't that guy. And so I might argue that Patrick Mahomes did land in the right situation in Kansas City. Yeah. And not to say that he couldn't have been as good as he is now somewhere else, but even the Peyton Mannings, even the Drew Breeses, even the Brett Favres, who started in Atlanta, right? Brett Favre was an Atlanta Falcon before he was a Green Bay Packer. Nobody remembers that, right? So
they traded him for a ham sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
He was a drunk. Remember that?
Yeah.
Glanville told us.
Yeah, Glanville was like, dude, he just was a kid that just drank and didn't pay any attention, was a raw talent guy. He's like,
gotta get rid of him.
Yeah, we didn't want him.
He went to jail.
Yeah.
You realize that he missed the team picture his rookie year because he was in jail. Jail.
Well,
and one of the five or six greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Right.
You know, and think about how different that ends up if he doesn't end up in Green Bay. If he gets sent out of Atlanta and he ends up in Arizona, ooh, which at the time, I know it's different now, but when we were there, Arizona was viewed as a death sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was viewed as like that you had to pay for like a Gatorade in order to get it. Like if he ends up being dealt from Atlanta to Arizona, Brett Favre's career is over.
Right.
There would have been no structure there. So maybe you're right to that point is no matter who you are, maybe you need a little bit of that to, you know, right place, right time, right circumstances.
Well, you got a little of the death sentence. I mean, freaking Lions.
Well, but yes-ish.
They're terrible.
But it wasn't the death sentence then, right? Even when I was drafted, so there were five teams that were looking for quarterbacks. Buffalo, Cincinnati, after Houston. Houston took David Carr. Buffalo, Cincinnati, Washington, Kansas City, and Detroit. And Buffalo and Cincinnati, those were the death sentences. Like, we did not want to go there.
You didn't, yeah. Kansas you didn't City view Detroit that way.
Kansas City and Washington, that I wanted to go to Kansas City. That was where I hoped to end up with Dick Vermeil. And then Detroit was just kind of middle of the road because they were only 2 years removed from Barry Sanders, right?
Yeah, okay.
You know, there were some, they were never a great team, but they were average. Right, they were 8-8.
Yeah, like the Herman Moore, right? Yeah. Some of those guys.
I guess Brett Perriman, was a long time
Scott
ago.
Scott Mitchell, you know, Robert Porche. I mean, they had some good guys. They just they just never had the quarterback to pair with Barry. And it wasn't until after Barry left that they truly became the death sentence.
The Lions.
All right, Joseph, we're gonna have to put a pin in it, and we'll get.
Actually, I got a pin out of it.
Yeah, did you hear that story?
Yes. Big By the way, you should. We need to tweet out a photo of that. Joey's hand out of the cast.
It's like, massive.
It's like the Crypt Keeper's hand. It's like he's got leprosy.
A little swollen. Ooh.
Look at that thing.
So he's got a cast on his right. What happened to your wrist?
I had a ligament reconstruction in my wrist.
And he just got the pin out today and he showed us the video of it.
Maybe moisturize a little bit.
They said not to do that yet or else it'll turn into like this cakey mess. So I'm just going to scratch all the dead skin off on your lap. See how
it's a good look. Have you tried like holding your wife's hand with that yet? Like put it on her shoulder. See what,
hey baby, why do you have dandruff?
Feel a little frisky. Yeah. Maybe this hand might get you in the mood.
All right, Joey, every Friday in studio with us here at 5:30, courtesy of BMW of Portland. We'll talk to you next week. Club is next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.